Please turn to the first verse of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In this verse, Luke, the inspired writer, referred to his former treatise. That's referring to the Gospel of Luke, and how blessed we are to have that particular gospel account as well as the others. But notice that Luke said in that earlier book that he wrote, the earlier treatise, he wrote about all things that Jesus began both to do and teach. In our lesson, we want to spend just a little while examining what the Lord practiced as well as what he taught concerning forgiveness. We observed this morning that quite often today in our society, we see a lack of kindness. When we do see kindness being demonstrated, we appreciate it, and it really draws our attention. Well, quite often today, we see a lack of forgiveness, and we must be careful lest that influence affect us. We're to have a positive influence upon the world. So it's important that we understand what Jesus did as well as what he taught on the subject of forgiveness. I've observed over the years, though, that when Jesus gave a command, he set the example. I believe that's what Luke is touching on when he's referring to his gospel. He wrote about all things that Jesus did and taught. You see, that's the proper order. Quite often today, we talk about practicing what we preach. And of course, we need to do that. Jesus practiced what he preached. But he first practiced it, then he preached it. That's the right order. Well, let's begin by pointing out from the scriptures that Jesus did indeed practice forgiveness. He did on numerous occasions. As a matter of fact, during his ministry, Jesus forgave sins on several different occasions. And by doing so, he demonstrated his divine authority as the Son of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5 and read about the occasion when Jesus forgave the sins of the man who was afflicted with palsy. Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading at verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This man had some very dear friends. They wanted to bring him to the Lord so that the Lord could heal him. Jesus was in a house, and in our language today, we would say it was packed. No one else could enter. Well, these men brought their friend to Jesus on a couch or a bed, and they could not enter the house where the Lord was. And I guess they did about the only thing they could do. They went up on the roof, took back some of the tiling, and let the man down. And did you notice Luke says that Jesus saw their faith? Jesus observed what these friends were doing in bringing the man into the Lord's presence. But notice how the Lord took care of this man. Now, we know what his problem was. He had the palsy. He couldn't walk. He had to depend upon his friends to bring him to the Lord. Jesus said his sins were forgiven. Now, the people who were present, at least some of them, the scribes and the Pharisees, took offense at that, because they knew that only God can forgive sins. And by forgiving the man's sins, Jesus was demonstrating his divine authority, but they refused to see that. Jesus said, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he told the man to rise up and walk. Well, the people who were present were amazed at what happened. But the point I want to make is, Jesus forgave this man's sins. And by doing so, he proved that he is God's divine Son. He's a member of the eternal Godhead, because only God can forgive sins. Now, we have the obligation, and we'll point this out later, to forgive each other. But I have no authority as a man to forgive anyone's sins. That's something that only God can do. But by forgiving the man's sins, Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he truly is God's divine Son. Now, later on, in just a few minutes, we will look at the thief who was crucified with the Lord. Jesus obviously forgave him. Many people want to pick out the thief and say he was forgiven, but he was not baptized. I've wondered over the years why people don't make the same observation concerning this man with the palsy. Was he baptized? Not that we know about. But Jesus forgave his sins. By the way, Jesus at that time had not given the Great Commission. The Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature, and whoever is believing and baptized will be saved. That commission was not given until after Jesus was resurrected from the grave, just before he ascended to heaven. So the Great Commission was not even in effect at this time. But I've often wondered why people are so quick to point out that the thief was not baptized, but completely overlook the fact that this man was not baptized. If we get hung up on that before the Great Commission was even given, we're overlooking the obvious point. Jesus proved that he's God's divine Son by forgiving this man's sins. This is not the only occasion that Jesus did that. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, let's begin reading at verse 36. Jesus forgave the sins of a woman who anointed his feet. Now, as we read through this, I think you will see that the Lord forgave this woman's sins. Was she baptized? Well, it's not recorded. Let's read about it. Luke 7 and verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. But when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. This is another occasion when Jesus forgave someone's sins. This woman's identified as a sinner. Exactly what she was guilty of, I don't know, because it's not revealed. But it was common knowledge that this woman was a sinner. But she showed her repentance by coming to the Lord and demonstrating her deep humility. She was shedding tears. She was sorry for the way that she had been living. And the Lord gave her a blessing that day. He forgave her sins. Did he command her to be baptized? No. You see, that commandment was not given until quite a while later, after the Lord was resurrected from the grave. So people who try to look at these examples and say that they were forgiven, but they were not baptized, therefore baptism is not a command that we have to obey, have got things all out of order. The Great Commission was not given until after Jesus was resurrected from the grave. How could it possibly apply to these people before the Lord even gave it? Well, you see, what says too much maybe says nothing at all. But let's look at another example when Jesus forgave sins. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Let's read verses 42 and 43. Now remember, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. It certainly appears from Matthew's account that for a time, both thieves railed on the Lord. Apparently, one of them had a change of heart. And he rebuked one thief for the things that he said. The man said, We deserve the treatment that we're receiving. See, that was punishment for stealing. And he said, We deserve this treatment. But concerning the Lord, he said, He's done nothing to deserve this, which was correct. And then he made a request of the Lord. Let's read verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, does it specifically say that Jesus forgave this man's sins? No, it doesn't. But the man's sins had to be forgiven to be with the Lord that day in paradise. Otherwise, he would have been in Hades, a place designated as torments. But Jesus said that day he would be with him in paradise. Well, here we have three occasions when Jesus forgave sins during his ministry. But let's look at one example that we're probably more familiar with. Since we're in Luke chapter 23, let's read verse 34. Now, Jesus had been abused. People had said some horrible things to him. He'd been scourged and then crucified. Verse 34 says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, did Jesus practice forgiveness Yes, he did. He forgave sins on at least three occasions that we know about, proving that he's God's divine Son. But then when he was dying on the cross, he asked God to forgive those who had crucified him. Now remember what Luke said? At the beginning of Acts, he referred to his former treatise in which he wrote about all things that Jesus began both to do and teach. We've just looked at Luke's former treatise, the Gospel of Luke, and we've seen very clearly that Jesus did indeed practice forgiveness. Well, in addition to practicing forgiveness, the Lord taught his followers about forgiveness. Luke said he wrote about things that Jesus both did and taught. Let's turn our attention to the things that Jesus taught. For one thing, Jesus taught his followers to ask God for forgiveness. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11 and begin at verse 1. This is when Jesus revealed his model prayer, and I want you to notice something that he taught his followers to pray for. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now all of the gospel accounts indicate that Jesus prayed often. But it just seems that Luke placed special emphasis on the Lord's prayer life. Now in John 17, we have the Lord's prayer recorded when he prayed for himself, his apostles, and all of his followers to be one. That's a very beautiful prayer. It's a lengthy prayer. We have other prayers of our Lord recorded. But Luke emphasizes a number of times in his gospel the fact that Jesus prayed often. He prayed under all types of circumstances, and there were many occasions when he did pray. This is one of them. He was praying. His disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, like John had taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice at the beginning of verse 4, Jesus taught his followers to pray for forgiveness. Well, that's a very important part of our prayers. We want to be in good standing with God. We want to confess our faults to him, and we want to ask him to forgive us. And we want to ask him for strength to help us avoid those same things in the future. But Jesus taught his followers in the model prayer to ask God for forgiveness. But in addition to that, Jesus taught his followers to forgive one another. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, let's read verses 3 and 4. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Jesus made it very clear that his followers are to forgive one another. I remember many years ago studying the Gospels in a class. The teacher said, Now look at verse 5. After Jesus gave those instructions in verses 3 and 4 about forgiveness, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They realized that forgiving, as the Lord commanded them in verses 3 and 4, would require a certain amount of faith. So they asked the Lord to increase their faith. I've always thought that was an interesting response when Jesus gave his will concerning faith, or concerning the need for repentance. It requires faith. Let's also look at Matthew chapter 18 and read verses 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. I can't help but think when Peter asked this a question, maybe he had in mind what we just studied from Luke 17, when Jesus used the number 7. That's just an arbitrary number. Doesn't mean that we have to keep a list of how many times we've forgiven somebody. Well, I can't help but think that Peter, on the basis of what Jesus had taught them, wanted some clarification in his own mind. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. I've often wondered if maybe Peter responded and said, Lord, really increase my faith. Of course, that's just speculation, something interesting to think about. But Peter was concerned about his obligation to forgive others who trespassed against him. So not only did Jesus practice forgiveness, he taught his followers to forgive. Matter of fact, Jesus showed in his teaching that God's forgiveness is dependent upon our willingness to forgive others. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. This is a part of the Lord's great Sermon on the Mount. He included his model prayer in this great sermon. And in that model prayer, he taught his followers to ask God for forgiveness. But then he made an extra comment on forgiveness in verses 14 and 15. This is in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't believe Jesus could possibly make it any more plain than that. Our forgiveness from God is dependent upon our willingness to forgive others. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He made it very clear. And he indicated that if his followers will not forgive others, then don't expect to receive God's forgiveness. Well, we all want God's forgiveness, don't we? We want it and we need it. We desperately need it. But here Jesus gave a qualification for receiving God's forgiveness. We're obligated to forgive others. Can you better appreciate the disciples' response when they said, increase our faith? Let's turn also to Matthew chapter 18 and read one of the Lord's parables. He dealt with the need for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, let's begin reading at verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Jesus told a number of parables during his ministry, and in doing so he illustrated some great spiritual lessons. This particular parable has three main characters in it: a king and two servants. Now, one servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, I'm not going to try to get into a discussion of exactly how much money that is, but suffice it to say, that was a debt that the man could not possibly repay. Now, how he got himself so far in debt, I don't know. But quite often today, I hear about people being in debt for millions and millions of dollars. How someone could do that, I don't know. But this man owed his king a debt that he could not possibly repay. Now, the other servant owed this first servant 100 pence. Suffice it to say, that's an insignificant debt. Now the king, according to verse 23, took account of his servants. The servant who owed 10,000 talents was brought before the king. He could not possibly pay back his debt. So, since he could not pay the debt, his family, himself, and his possessions were to be sold. According to verse 26, though, this servant asked the king for patience. Be patient with me and I'll pay the debt. Well, he couldn't possibly do that, but he was just casting himself on the mercy of this king, asking for patience. Well, verse 27 mentions the king's compassion. And his compassion led him to forgive this debt. That means to make the debt clean or clear. It was gone. Forgiven. Erased, we would say. I don't know how you would feel, but if I was that man, I think I would be fairly happy, knowing that I would not have to be sold, my family would not have to be sold, and I wouldn't lose what few possessions I have. While he no doubt was happy that the king forgave him, he found his fellow servant that owed him 100 pence. That's just a small amount of money. We would sort of refer to that as pocket change. And he would not forgive his fellow servant who owed him that small amount of money. I can almost picture this man, though, grabbing his fellow servant by the throat and choking him and demanding that payment be made. Did you notice that the second servant made the same request that the first servant had made before the king? Have patience with me, and I will repay the debt. Well, it's unfortunate, but this man would not forgive his fellow servant of that debt of 100 pence. Well, the king was told what happened, and he punished that unforgiving servant. This is normally referred to as the parable of the unmerciful servant. Well, he had no mercy in his heart, and he wasn't willing to forgive his fellow servant of the small debt that he owed. But Jesus made his point very clear in verse 35. Let's read it again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, this morning we studied a number of verses that teach us what we need to know about kindness. As dear children, we're to be followers of God according to Ephesians 5 and verse 1. And of course, God is kind. If we're going to be his followers, we're going to have to develop that particular characteristic, and we're going to have to demonstrate it before others. But let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32 again. These verses teach us to eliminate things that would oppose kindness. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. According to verse 32, kindness and forgiveness are closely related. Let's read verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, as we've read, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Did you notice that kindness and forgiveness are closely related? It's imperative that we remove things from our hearts that would prevent us from being kind. It's imperative that we remove things from our hearts that would prevent us from being forgiving. Having eliminated those things, then we can turn our attention to being kind and being forgiving. Sometimes forgiveness can be a challenge. Sometimes when I wonder about that, I can't help but in my mind picture Jesus on the cross and asking God to forgive those people who abused him and mistreated him. He set the great example before us, didn't he? I don't believe we'll ever be called upon to show forgiveness to the extent that the Lord did. But by doing what he did, he set the great example before us. God, help us to eliminate things that would keep us from being kind and forgiving. And God, help us to practice what the Lord wants us to do. Maybe it would help us to do what the disciples did. Lord, increase our faith. Well, faith is learning God's will and putting it into practice. So this week, let's pay close attention to the things that we do, the things that we say. And let's be sure that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do.